I have to say that I've never been referred to as Tremor Page before. I have been referred to as Terror Page, as Travel Page, even Treasure Page, but never Tremor Page. Thank you. The events of the last week have been very disappointing at the UN. And no one is more disappointed than I. But I think one of the things even John Bolton, the American ambassador to the UN, agrees is that the organization does fulfill a useful role in some areas, and that the provision of relief is one of those. So the answer to your question is, I don't think the events of last week are going to affect it. It'll probably enhance it, in fact, because it'll be pushed up front. One of the things, however, we ourselves within the UN have to guard against is that we don't rush off gung-ho in our caps and I hate to say photographer's vest because I'm a photographer and I don't want to denigrate photographers, but our vests with our emblems emblazoned on them, and we get in our helicopters, our tanks, our landing craft, and we zoom in and take over. We occupy the place. That has to stop. We have developed emergency field manuals. We roll out Chapter XB5 when somebody presses the button, and no one thinks to actually look at the beneficiary, at the affected person, to feel them, to ask them what it is they need. We seem to know better than they do, and we roll it all out. Now, we've got to stop that. But that's our own deficiency. We're much faster. I don't think the events of last week are going to damage that. On the contrary, I think it'll reinforce it. Thank you.
I was just wondering, with all this aid coming from around the world, you said 7+ billion, is the local oil industry in Indonesia contributing to perhaps on top of that? I understand a great proportion of the wealth of Indonesia comes from Aceh, but it's through their oil. What is the state of the oil? Was it wiped out or damaged, or is it producing again?
Yeah, although it's an agricultural economy, Aceh, it does have a vast mineral wealth, much of it unexploited. But there is a refinery in Aceh. They are pulling in oil, they're refining oil. But that, in fact, is being done not by the Indonesians, it's being done by Exxon. Exxon has the big oil refinery and the prospecting rights in Aceh. Indonesia, however, does have oil in various parts of the country. Right at this time, they're not meeting their own requirements, and they are still importing. In fact, they're importing oil. But the refinery was shut down for about a week, I understand, after the tsunami, really because communications were cut. You couldn't get cars or trucks in. I guess they had their own helicopters and what have you. But very soon it picked up again, and it's fully functioning. In terms of did Exxon contribute to the relief effort, I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to guess and say they probably did, but I couldn't go any further than that, Roy. Thanks. Please.
My name is Graham Greenlee. Trevor, you mentioned a number of UN food aid agencies, such as CARE, UNICEF, Oxfam, and others. How do we, as the Canadian public, know which one or two we can support or should support financially if we can't afford to support them all.
Right. You know, there are some very good non-governmental organizations that were very quick off the mark and did excellent work. There are others who are really very mediocre. Some of them are just one person and an emblem, almost. And some of them are involved in not the kind of humanitarian relief that people are looking for when they're afflicted by a disaster like this, but they go and provide what they believe to be spiritual help to the victims of a disaster. Care Canada is an excellent agency. The Red Cross, Canadian Red Cross, part of the Red Cross organization worldwide, the biggest organization with the biggest outreach in the world. Both very solid agencies. Oxfam, Save the Children Fund, all very good, solid agencies. World Vision, also less professional, but vast amounts of money channeled through it. And certainly, the NGOs that I've just mentioned, or CARE, Oxfam, are just as good as the UN in terms of their technical scrutiny of projects. In fact, they're probably better. They're not usually as big, and that is not always a drawback, but excellent agencies. But then, how would you feel if we were hit by hurricane, I don't know, what would you like to call it, Diane? Name a hurricane.
Hurricane Tremor.
Hurricane Tremor. Hurricane Tremor hit Lethbridge, and, you know, you wander round on day two or three to Henderson Lake, and you see an imam there in his flowing robes giving out Qurans. You don't need it. And that's exactly, I would suggest, what the people of Bandar Aceh felt when Bibles were being handed out in Bandar Aceh Central Park. So give your money to the bigger NGOs. Do not give them to the UN. It's your government's job to do that. The UN is an intergovernmental agency, and I mean by that the agencies of the UN, UNICEF, the World Food Programme, the World Health Organization. They're funded by governments. Don't give your money to them. Choose an NGO that you're comfortable with, and the big ones do a very good professional job.
Barbara Warren, Trevor. My question is, in what you observed while you were there, can you talk a little bit about the orphan children and schooling of children?
Sure. You know, most of the dead, most of the 166,000 are women and children. They can't swim. And one of the things that I try to impress upon the little girls in the earthquake drill when I drilled them in class was learn how to swim. There are tens of thousands of orphans. There are hundreds of NGOs that are helping to certain extents. Orphanages have been set up. Schools is something that both on Nias. Nias is in a different province. It's in the province of North Sumatra. And the governor there was absolutely crystal clear that he wanted to do two things to restore Nias back in working order. He wanted to restore the market, and he wanted the kids back at school. So the schools were all lying in pieces on the ground. And the way that it was done was to send over, fly over marquee tents and have tent schools. So schooling is still a problem. Kids are back at school. Some of them under a tree, the schools. Some of them in tents. School buildings, they're just starting to construct them, but so far, not very much. But it's certainly on the top of government's agenda to get the schools going again. Some of them are just wooden platforms with tarpaulin sheets draped over the top for some shade, which double as the primary school and the mosque in camps. But moving ahead, but with difficulty.
Yes, Bridget passed to her Trevor. Thank you so much for that. That was very enlightening. I had been fortunate to have spoken to someone else that had come over, and their perspective was a little bit different, so it was really interesting to get the two perspectives. Two questions, if I might. As a health professional, I was most concerned about the fact that you've mentioned that AIDS, and when I realized the close proximity of people in these camps, and how quickly that could spread, and if, in fact, the government is doing any sorts of education towards what you do to stop AIDS, or what you shouldn't do, I guess. And then the other thing was about the building of the trail to go up to that high hill. How quickly would that trail grow in, and how much maintenance would be required to keep it open? I'm just assuming that the jungle could reclaim it quite quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. On AIDS, the government officially allows condoms to be distributed, but it's a very low-key program. There is also a government educational program for AIDS. Again, it's very low-key, it's not state-of-the-art. The best effort in Indonesia that you have in controlling AIDS is through a social marketing organization called DKT, which is an international social marketing organization headquartered in Washington, but they have a local Indonesian chapter. And they socially market AIDS protection products, which are principally condoms. Of course, condoms are used for family planning too. The government officially has a family planning program, very low-key. Aceh, being a conservative province, people don't talk about it, they don't like to talk about it, they're embarrassed by it, and it's a major problem. When I got back from this trip, I had two points that I wanted to make to Canada's International Development Minister, Eileen Carroll. One was that we need for Indonesia, which is the world's fourth most populous country, a disaster preparedness policy and a disaster preparedness plan. China, the world's most populous country, has one. India, the world's second most populous country, has one. I've been involved with both. And we need one for Indonesia. I mean, you can lose tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to earthquakes and tsunamis, and that is going to happen. It may not hit West Sumatra. The Celebes is actually just almost as vulnerable further over to the east. So the whole of the Indonesian archipelago is at risk. So that was the first point. The second one was, I said there's going to be an enormous AIDS problem. So could we have CEDA giving some attention to AIDS? I regret to say, Bridget, that neither of the two have been done as we speak. And anything you can do to promote disaster preparedness and AIDS prevention would be welcome. Thank you.
Trevor, one question. I was listening to QR77 today at a phenology conference. As Canada got a plan because they did a big shelf off Vancouver, a they're very worried about now.
Well, you noticed I said the world's most populous country, and then I went to the second most, China, then India, then I went to Indonesia at number 4. Of course, number 3 is the United States, and I leave it to you to decide whether they have one or not. In my opinion, it needs strengthening very considerably. For Canada, if we talk about foreign disaster response, DART, which is the Disaster Assistance Response Team, is a disaster and needs to be upgraded instantly. DART did not go to Indonesia, it went to Sri Lanka. It comprised some very well-meaning greenhorn soldiers, including medics, doctors and medics. When they opened the water, the containers with the water purification plants inside, only half of them worked because they hadn't been used since Bosnia 10 years earlier. And if you believe Médecins Sans Frontières, which I do, it's a French medical NGO, the 532 patients examined by the Canadian medics in the 31 days that they were in Sri Lanka, NSF would have done 5,000 and at a tenth of the price. In terms of, do we have a plan to protect us from a possible tsunami? The answer is yes. Do we need to upgrade the dikes on the Fraser River? The answer is probably yes. And I think really that, you know, we've had a couple of wake-up calls in the last few years. 9/11 was one, and what did we do? We hit Afghanistan and Iraq, so I hope we don't respond that way to this wake-up call. But it is a wake-up call, and the Dutch, apparently, I heard on CBC today, have dike specialists coming over from Holland to talk to Canadian officials responsible for dikes in vulnerable areas. Half of Holland is below sea level, and they pay very serious attention to their dikes. So I can't specifically tell you what the state of the plan is. Yes, there is one, and from what I hear, it is being updated. Thank you for that question.
Fergus Raphael. Trevor, I think everyone noticed with the Hurricane Katrina there was some resistance to aid and rehabilitation there, I guess aid at this point. Did you experience anything like that in Sumatra?
No. I think that in retrospect, the Indonesian government, whilst welcoming all the aid, would not like an invasion of all the NGOs instantly doing their own thing. I call it the invasion of the body savers, not the body snatchers. But that has to be rethought. We got some inappropriate aid, but generally speaking, not much. In the case of the US, there is a UN team, as we speak, in Baton Rouge and in various other parts of the southern United States affected by Hurricane Katrina. It's a small team of 25 people. 9 are from the World Food Program. There's also UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and the UN High Commission for Refugees there. And they're helping not FEMA, because FEMA has been cut in two, or was cut in two, after 9/11, when Homeland Security was created, and then the role of FEMA was cut in half, which is why there were no clear lines of responsibility to react to Hurricane Katrina. But during their, I don't know whether it's demise, probably not, they'll spring back, in the limbo situation they're in at the moment, AFDA, which is the Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance of the U.S. government, has been pushed up to the forefront. And Around the world, everybody watched what was happening with Hurricane Katrina. And you had embarrassed governments saying, oh my God, you know, why is the response so like this? Why is it so slow? They've been badly hit, we have to offer something. So more than 100 countries have offered the United States assistance. They were a little embarrassed getting directly in touch with George Bush, so many of them got in touch with Kofi Annan and said, would you mind passing it on? But we would like to provide assistance. Bangladesh provided assistance. Poor old Bangladesh, you know. I mean, some of the poorest countries in the world have provided assistance. It may have been $100,000, it may have been $10 million, but the total is close on $1 billion from over 100 countries. Kofi Annan rang George Bush and informed him about this and was told, well, thanks a lot, but we can manage. A couple of days later, the Secretary General of the UN received a phone call from US State Department and said, well, thanks, we would gratefully receive assistance from various countries, provided it's appropriate, and also your offer of assistance to help coordinate that is accepted. So it's a low-key team. They're helping the US authorities, which after all is the richest, most powerful nation in the world, with a coordination of supplies coming in from foreign countries. They're helping coordinate when it comes in, which plane loads of supplies go to which place, which ships bring stuff where, and what have you. So they're helping coordinate the reception, and that is what is happening.
Well, thank you very much, Trevor. On behalf of the audience, I think we all found this most fascinating, informative, and delightful presentation, along with your slideshow. So thank you very much. Thank you all for coming.